We hope you're all having a wonderful Monday evening, but alongside Braden Folk, I'm Dawson Perrell. We got a great show planned for you folks. We'll be meeting with various coaches and players around Pendleton Heights sports. But starting off here, Braden and I will recap the last week for both baseball and softball. Fill you all in on where both teams stand in the season as they enter the last couple of weeks of the regular season. But starting off here with baseball, they currently stand at 13-6. They're 5-5 in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. Don't have too many games left. Only eight, it looks like, regular season games remaining until they get into sectionals. Looks like they'll be playing Mount Vernon in the first round of sectionals, so that'll be a big matchup there. But taking a look on this past week for the boys, it was a little rainy week. Of course, they had a game rained out against Greenfield Central, but they still got a couple of, well, they got all of them in. The first was against Greenfield Central. It was at home. They lost to them 9-2 on the 30th. A tough loss there against a Hoosier Heritage team, especially after coming off back-to-back losses against Mount Vernon. They really needed a conference win. Weren't able to get it there, but then they got that conference win the next night at Greenfield Central. They got their revenge, beat the Cougars 5-2. So they went 1-1 against Greenfield Central this year, and then they followed that up on the third, a road matchup against Shenandoah. They beat them in a very easy win, 13-1. So last week, Pendleton Heights baseball went 2-1. Overall, a solid week, but you'd really want that Greenfield Central win, especially considering they're 5-5 in the Hoosier Heritage after this week. Not really necessarily where they want to be at.
Yeah, it was a Greenfield game. Was a very close game. Me and Zion broadcast the game. It was like a 1-0 game at the end of the fourth inning, and then they scored. Greenfield Central scored six runs in one inning, and Colton Frank got pulled, and then it all went downhill from there.
Yeah, kind of a rough loss. But again, they got their revenge the next night, traveling over to Greenfield Central, beating them 5-2. You take a look at this game here and the stats, the win against the Cougars. Four Pendleton Heights leading them in RBIs. It was Jameson Williamson, right?
Jameson Walford.
Jameson, not Walford.
Jordan Williamson.
Jordan Williamson, sorry. Can only see first letters here. So Jordan Williamson, he had two RBIs. He went 1-for-2. Solid night for him from hitting. Jackson Grile, along with Colton Frank, they both had one RBI apiece. And then for the pitching side of things that night, we saw a lot out of Braden Stevenson. He pitched for six innings, had four strikeouts, allowed four walks, two errors, allowed two runs and four hits. Overall, a solid night for Braden Stevenson, of course. Maybe not necessarily the best statistically speaking, but at the end, you got the W, which is all that matters. Colin Axel Adams, excuse me, did get in there for a single inning, got a strikeout, allowed one hit. So a good win there against Greenfield Central, and then you follow that up with a dominating victory over Shenandoah. I think Pendleton was definitely projected to win. This was kind of they were definitely favored in this matchup, and they didn't underdeliver. They won by a pretty big margin. Bo Surface had one of his best games this season. He had two RBIs, Colton Frank and Williamson also with two RBIs apiece. And overall, just a solid week for Pendleton Heights. Again, you'd want that Greenfield Central game back on the 30th. Switching over here to softball, they currently stand at 14-7. They are undefeated in Hoosier Heritage play, 3-0 in the conference. For this past week, they had three games. The first was against Connersville at home. They beat the Connersville Spartans 12-2, then beat Mount Vernon 12-1, then beat Shelbyville 2-1 in a close game on the road. But again, a great week for softball this past week. They went 3-0, two very, very good wins against Connersville, then Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon is going to be tough. They're always a tough team in every sport. That includes softball, but Pendleton Heights was able to get over their rivals and get the win. And then for Connersville, maybe not as strong as Mount Vernon, but they can still give they can still put up a fight, and Pendleton Heights contained them and got the win there. Shelbyville, though, is probably the toughest matchup. They definitely have some star power there for the Golden Bears, but Pendleton Heights on the road after two pretty big wins. Advanced to 3-0 in the week, and yeah, not much to complain. And you look back to 2 weeks ago, they had a really rough week. They went 0-3, so it was a good turnaround for the Lady Arabians. After going 0-4, you turn around, go 3-0. So yeah, again, currently stand at 14-7. They also don't have much play left. You take a look on games they have remaining. They have only six games remaining on the regular season schedule before they play Anderson in the first round of sectionals.
Yeah, I don't know about the Anderson softball team, but I'm assuming
they're not the best.
Greatest, so yeah. Should be an easy first round. Don't want to jinx it, so I'm knocking on the studio wood. But as well as the something I noticed this softball season, they've got a lot of like back-to-back like games. Like it's like second to the third, and then there's games that they played in like, I don't know, it's just like a lot of back-to-back games, but it seems to work for them. So, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned Anderson. We were just talking about not necessarily the strongest team, but, you know, they could definitely put up a fight in that first sectional matchup. But before you can look onto that, you got six games remaining on the regular season schedule. I'm going to assume a big goal for Coach Davis and the softball team as a whole is to go undefeated in conference. You take a look, they have one, two, three, four conference games remaining. Greenfield Central, they play tomorrow. Braden, you and I will be broadcasting that one. Should be an okay game. Greenfield Central has some talent on their end. You take a look at their record this past year. They are 10-6. So again, definitely can compete. It should be a close game, a good game. And then you got New Pal on the 9th. That'll also be a very, very tough game. New Pal was really the team that gave them a run for their money last year in sectionals. The only team that really did against Pendleton Heights. So that'll be a tough one. And then Newcastle, Yorktown, not necessarily on the same page. They should be easier wins. But again, it's Hoosier Heritage Conference and every game is going to be tough. So I think that's one of the big goals for the Lady Arabians at this point is go undefeated in the Hoosier Heritage and they have a chance to do so. But you mentioned there, Brayden, you know, taking a look back so far in this past year for the girls, they've been having a pretty successful season. I think a lot of credit has to go to their hitting. You look at Caitlin Goodwin, the senior, she's had seven RBIs on the year so far, very solid. And then Ari Rector, a junior, has really took a big step up this past year. She leads the team with batting average, batting a .465, on-base percentage, .513. And then she has four home runs. That's second on the team. And she's also a very solid pitcher. We saw that in the Horseshoe Classic where she pitched a game. But overall, I think Ari Rector, Caitlin Goodwin, and all the other girls, very, very good year, especially from the hitting side.
Speaking of home runs, I was on Facebook for some reason, but I was scrolling through and I saw somebody. They posted that there was a game that the girls had four home runs in the same game.
Yeah. I think that was, I forget, but I know what you're talking about. I remember
Ari
hearing about that.
Kelsey Day, yeah. Caitlin Goodwin, and Morgan Humble.
Wait, was that not the one that we broadcast? Was that not Delta?
I don't remember.
Let's take a look. Because I do remember, I know what you're talking about. I remember hearing or seeing something about four home runs in a game. But I remember Delta, they had quite a few. It was a 14-0 win and obviously a dominating one. They did run rule them, so maybe.
All I know is it was by, I think, Caitlin Goodwin's mom, like a recommended follower or something like that.
It wasn't Delta, so I don't know.
I don't know. But it was, I just saw four home runs and it looked awesome. Like I've never seen four home runs in the same game.
Here we go. Mount Vernon. It was against Mount Vernon.
Okay.
They had four home runs, resulting in a 12-1 win. Man, what a team to get four home runs again. I saw some players at Hacienda after that game.
Really?
Yeah, I was eating with some buds, and I saw them celebrating the W.
Probably saw them celebrating four home runs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
I would.
I darn right would.
All right, so that'll do it for our first segment here. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank, offering personal and business banking loans and investing services. Hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM. Located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Remember, this is located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Citizens State Bank.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style, located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, providing women, men, and children's haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, and more. By phone, 765-400-5323. On Facebook and Twitter, or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to tonight's halftime show. I'm Ryan Davis, and joining me here is Addie Sindley and Ava Gerald of the girls' varsity track team. So what does a daily practice look like for you guys?
So we start off with doing like a group hurdle stretching. And that's just like one of the things we can do like as a team together. So we do that and then we kind of like go our separate ways. The sprinters go do whatever and distance goes and, do long run workout, whatever we're doing that day.
Yeah, basically like Ava said, we usually do hurdle warm-ups as a team, and then we usually go off. Sprinters will, like, end up outside, and we'll go do some, like, A-skips and B-skips, like, sprinting drills. And then we'll do, like, we'll do these, like, shin splints prevention, and then we'll go stretch, and then we'll do, like, 5 strides, and then we actually get to the practice.
So you guys have had 2 meets now, and what do those look like for you guys, and what is the difference between inside and outside meets?
So these 2 meets that we've done, those are just like unattached meets that we're not doing like with the team. But we just do it so like we're getting more experience racing. So when it actually comes to like team racing, then we kind of have an idea of where we need to be and just like how to have that experience indoor. And I would say, like, the difference is, so for indoor, the track is shorter. Instead of it being 400 meters, it's 200. So you're doing double the amount of laps, and technically it's harder, but it really just depends, I guess, on the person.
So are there any meets you guys are looking forward to this year?
Yeah, for sure. I would say some of the bigger meets like Pike and Zionsville, and I might be going to another bigger meet. We're not sure yet, but there's a Carmel distance showcase. So if I'm able to get into that meet, that's a pretty big one I'm excited for.
I'm excited for the girls' invite just because I know there's going to be like really big schools there like Cathedral and Mount Vernon. So I'm just excited to see all of their competition.
So how is track mental as is physical?
Mentally, I mean, knowing me, I like stress out a lot because, I mean, I like to win, so I stress out that I'm not going to. But, I mean, physically, it's super demanding on you, especially, like, going out of the blocks, like, pushing yourself all the time. I mean, you can be, it's really tiring.
Yeah, I'd agree. Just like some of the bigger meets, you have to be in the right mindset or you're going to get beat before you even get on the line. So just some of the not as big meets are just good to kind of prepare you for those bigger meets. And I mean, on the physical aspect, obviously, like you're running and that's pretty hard on your body. But I would say the mental part is pretty significant as well.
So what are you guys' goals for this year?
So my goal is pretty much just to be faster than I was last year. I want to be around like a 450, maybe a little faster mile. I was wanting to be faster in my 800, and actually I PR'd in the past meet I just had, so I just want to keep improving from there. And as for the 2 mile, I'm going to start doing that more this year. So I just want to be able to do well in that and hopefully just advance as far as I can in all of them, maybe.
I know my goal this year is probably to like stay healthy because last year I broke my hip mid-season, and so my biggest goal is probably just to stay healthy and actually make it through the whole season.
So that will do it for tonight's halftime show. This is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Twister Soda Bar, located at 3289 West Engle Road, right across from Pendleton Heights High School. Offering a variety of drinks, including sodas, seltzers, lemonades, iced coffee, sweetened or unsweetened tea, and more. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. More information is available at twistersodabar.com. That's twistersodabar.com. Twister's Soda Bar.
WEEM
is underwritten by Anita's Diner, located at 777 East Water Street in Pendleton, providing daily specials, eat-in, and carry-out options from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. More information at 765-778-0001. That's 765-778-0001. Anita's Diner.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM. We welcome you to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. I'm Lucas Williams, and joining me is Coach Rob Davis of the Lady Arabian softball team. How are we doing today?
Good. You?
I'm doing pretty good. And just getting right into it, you guys played Frankton last Monday and dominated that game, winning 11-2. There were two runs in the first inning, which isn't very typical. You know, it takes kind of a few innings to warm up. But how did you use this to your advantage?
Well, you know, takes a little pressure off when you come out and you score two runs the first inning. Everybody relaxes a little bit more, and then kind of gives us going into the game, you know, being smooth to where, you know, nerves. You know, we've had a tendency this year to kick the ball around a little bit. So, you know, for us to get two runs, have that little cushion definitely was an advantage.
So, Caitlin Goodwin had a home run during this game, making for a sixth of the season. How she became a leader for this team?
She's just, you know, she's a great kid. She works hard. She leads by example. You know, she's always, you know, the first one there, always the one going the hardest. You know, and she's going to Dayton for a reason. You know, she's that kind of girl. The thing about Caitlin hitting that home run against Frankton, she hit a home run off Frankton every year in the 4 years that she's been here at Pendleton Heights, which is unheard of. You know, I mean, you know, she's hit home runs many times and against multiple teams, but she's never hit one each of the four times that we'd played Frankton.
So also during this game, you had senior Morgan Humble pitch the entire game in some of the next game. How has her pitching gotten better as she's progressed?
She's spinning the ball, hitting her locations better, getting stronger. Endurance is better from where we were when we started. You know, our conditioning that we did before the season started got us ready for, you know, our 5-6 games a week. You know, she hit her spots and spun the ball really well, and she was in control in the count most of the night, which, you know, is a big advantage for her.
So on Thursday, you played against Noblesville and lost 6-4. And the team usually plays better leading earlier. So how do you try to get the ball rolling or earlier in this game?
Well, you know, I mean, Noblesville's a very, very high-powered offensive team that hits multiple home runs. You know, we kicked the ball around again in that game to allow them to score so many runs. Shelby had pretty much good demand of her movement of her balls and was hitting her spots, and we didn't make plays. You know, and that seems to be the common denominator of our seven losses is our defense. So, you know, once we figure that out, or if we figure that out, you know, we're going to be very successful.
So on Friday, you faced Hamilton Southeastern and lost that game 3-1. Now, the batting average for the team was a 136. What was the cause of this kind of hitting drought?
What's her name? Sikarski, I believe it is.
Yes, Wodarski.
Sikarski, that's the denominator there. She was a very high-powered pitcher, got great movement on her ball, probably the best pitcher that we've seen all year. And good pitching is going to, you know, take down good hitting 9 out of 10 times. So, you know, she kept us off balance, you know, and when we did hit it, we hit it right at him, you know. But, you know, she's definitely one of the better pitchers that we faced all year.
So on Sunday, you played against Zionsville and lost that game 12-4. Now, during that game, Zionsville had six different players all having a stolen base. Now, what's something you can do to try and minimize the amount of stolen bases in the future?
Well, we got to be ready for it. You know, got to be in position for it. You know, I didn't realize they had that many stolen bases. I'm going to have to go back and make sure that stat is correct. But, you know, communication, the biggest thing. But we also walked a lot of batters, leadoff batters in that game where they got the leadoff batter on base by us walking them. And then they would put one of their fast, you know, I call them rabbits, one of their fast girls in the ball game to steal the bases. And we just weren't ready. You know, I thought we played a little sluggish against Zionsville, kind of went through the motions. You know, they out-hit us, what, 16-10? And I think three of our hits came in the seventh inning. You know, but we just were really, I think was going more through the emotions than showing up, you know, trying to win a ball game.
So you've used all of your pitchers multiple times in just a short span of games. So what is the reason for that?
Well, you know, when you have 12 games in 2 weeks, you know, that's the biggest part of it. You know, there's no reason to sit here and wear somebody out, you know, with the conference schedule that we're getting ready to start Thursday. We got six conference games left. We got four of them right in a row, starting Friday. No, actually Thursday, Mount Vernon. And then, you know, I wanted to get the other girls some innings to see where we're at and see what they can do so we know how to prepare ourselves for the end of the season.
So you actually kind of just, you know, we're thinking the exact same thing I was about to say. So after Connersville, you play four teams in the Hoosier Heritage right in a row. So how do you think the competition is going to be against all these teams, you know, back to back to back in our conference?
Well, you know, we get everybody's best every night, no matter who we're playing. So, you know, that's a good thing that I like, that we're getting everybody's best. You know, to go to the conference, you know, I believe Mount Vernon might be a little bit down compared to where they have been. But, you know, you go into Greenfield Central, Shelbyville. Shelbyville's got the Eads pitcher that's really, really strong that we've struggled with. I think we beat her one out of the last four or five times that we played her. And then you got Greenfield under new head coach, which will be competitive. And then, of course, you got New Pow, which, you know, they're a very competitive team, but one of the most powerful teams, I think, in the state of Indiana.
So before you play these games in our conference, you, of course, have Connersville. So right now you are in a three-game losing streak. So is there anything you're going to kind of change going to this next game, or are you just going to stick true to what you do?
We're going to stick true to what we do. You know, our biggest problem is our defense. You know, we are our worst enemy in the seven losses. We've had four errors in each game. That's 28 errors in just those games. And, you know, you look at the stat, we've had over 40 errors already in the season. In years past, you know, we haven't even been to 40 errors. So, you know, that's the thing that we got to work on. That's the thing we're going to talk about. And that's what's going to get us back on the winning streak, you know, not making mistakes, you know, and executing. You know, when we were playing well, we were executing, not making mistakes. When we get beat, don't play well, then it's not executing and making mistakes. So, you know, we got to figure that part out and get back on the winning track tomorrow night.
So finally, as April is ending, what are your just final thoughts of the month, and what do you think about, you know, your next month, May?
Well, I mean, you know, you think about where you're at, you know, what you've accomplished, what we've got done already. You know, we've proved that we can play with anybody in the state. We've played, you know, number three, number four, beat them. But then we turn around and get beat by 15, 16, 17. So, you know, we can play with anybody in the state. We're still trying to figure out who play and where. You know, we about got that all figured out. But again, we're trying to figure out who's not going to make mistakes and what's going to be best for us. And, you know, for what we've accomplished this year so far, you know, we've had some ups and we have some downs. And you know, we're going to try to get back on the ups and finish it with being on the upside.
So this is all the time we have today. Thank you, Coach Davis, for joining us, and good luck against Connersville.
All right, thanks for having me.
Coming up next, Dawson sat down with Coach Vosburgh of the baseball team, and you are listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is brought to you by House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning, located at 8711 South State Road 9 in Pendleton. They've been serving Pendleton and surrounding communities since 1960, offering residential heating and air conditioning service and installation, as well as financing and preventative maintenance plans. More information is available at 765-778-3838. House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC, located at 526 North Pendleton Avenue in Pendleton. Dr. Foley and the staff of Regenerative Health and Wellness offer services in the area of weight loss, hormone balance, autoimmune issues, and more. Information about regenerative health and wellness is available at 317-903-1791. Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. My name is Aiden Wilson here alongside our Pendleton Heights baseball coach, Coach Vosburg. Coach, how are we doing?
Living the dream. How are you?
I'm all right. All right. So to start off, you guys are currently 4-1 in your last five games, with the most recent and biggest win of the week being against Shenandoah. You guys had 13 runs in that game to Shenandoah's one. What did you really see in that one that helped you guys pull off such a big win?
You know, we kind of just kept the foot on the pedal throughout that game. That was something that we haven't done very well in previous games. In every game that we've lost this year, with the exception of one, we've been in a position where we've had a lead in those games. We've been up early 1-0 against Mount Vernon twice, against the first game of Greenfield. We ended up losing all of those games. And it almost like was we got complacent early in that game once we got that first run. And on Shenandoah on Friday, we wanted to make it a point of emphasis to continue to put pressure on them. And if you look at the box score, I was really proud of the fact that we scored at least one run in every inning playing our game. We had 11 stolen bases, I believe, on that day, which has been a big point of emphasis for us, is to really create chaos on the bases, make our defense, our opposing defenses and pitchers feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I felt that we really did a good job of that on Friday. On top of that, our pitchers went out and threw strikes and limited free bases to them, so they didn't have an opportunity to do what we were doing to them. So it was really a well-played defensive game. You know, Bo Surface had a big offensive night, kind of, you know, coming from Shenandoah for the majority of his high school career, for his school career, to go back and have the type of performance that he had, I'm sure felt really good. So just a lot of good vibes coming out of Friday night.
All right, but as you mentioned, your pitching staff, Jameson Walford had himself a no-hitter at the mound in that game. So stepping into your next game against a 16-3 new Pal squad, what do you think is really necessary from your pitchers in order to shut down new Pal offensively?
We've been really pleased with our pitching overall this year. Our whip, you know, walks, hits per inning has been really, really, really strong. It's been one of our strengths. We're limiting the bases as much as possible. If we could even knock down a few of the walks, and really a lot of that, the number that you see from our whip is coming from walks rather than hits. People aren't hitting us very well this year.
Yeah.
Our pitchers and Coach P, our pitching coach, they've done a really good job of mixing up pitches, of putting in some pregame work to make sure that we're prepared mentally and physically to go out and battle some of the best teams in the state. And so we just need to continue doing what we're comfortable doing. We've got guys like Colton Frank and Jacob Garner, B. Stevenson that we've started, but then we're really lucky to have relievers like Jameson Walford and Landon Oler and Colin Axel Adams, Caden Sims, you know, guys that can come into the game and throw strikes and get big outs. And I don't think New Pal's seen a pitching staff like ours in terms of how we approach things. I don't think they've seen a team offensively about how we go about our business. I'm really, really excited to take the field against New Pal. You know, they're a sectional opponent. We wouldn't see them until the championship game where we'd get, you know, lucky enough to get to that point. So we need to, it's going to be a nice assessment of how our two teams match up. We know that they're going to be well coached. Coach Lyons has been doing it for a very, very long time. One of the best in the business. We lost to New Pal in the sectional last year, 1-0. So we kind of want to get that taste out of our mouth and go out and compete against some of the best teams. And New Pal is one of the best teams. So it'll be exciting to get on the field against them.
All right. So to stick with New Pal, obviously your game tomorrow evening, is there anything specific or a certain player from this team that you guys really had an eye on or think you need to slow down in order to give yourselves the best shot?
Yeah, it's more about pitching than anything else. You know, they've got a pair of brothers, Henry Thorpe is going to be who we'll more than likely see. I think they've been pretty much throwing him in game one, and if we don't see him in game one, we'll see him in game two. He's who beat us in the sectional last year. Just a really well-refined pitcher, I would say. He just really pitches well. He has command of multiple different pitches, two off speed, a really solid changeup, and a really good breaking ball, and he lives on the outer half of the plate. So what we need to do is be able to defend the outer half. We need to be crowding the plate, taking away the outer half of the plate, which is their strength. We've got to defend with two strikes. We've got to be able to expand our zone a ball and a half off the plate. And we can't go down looking. You know, we've got to continue to put pressure on their defense. We have to get to first base before we can steal bases. Mm-hmm. You know, baseball's, you know, pretty, you can't steal first base in baseball, yeah. Right? You've got to put the ball in play. You've got to earn your spot there, before we can start, stealing bags and bunting guys and putting additional pressure on the defense. So we've just got to have really solid at bats, solid approaches. The minute we try to start to pull baseballs and we try to gap baseballs to the left side, that plays right into their hands, because mm-hmm. they want ground balls to the left side.
Yeah.
We've got to stay middle. We've got to stay middle away and try to shoot balls over second base's head from our righties and do the same thing to shortstop with our lefties. We can't get too pull happy. And so if we just stay controlled, he's not going to overpower us. He's just going to pitch really, really well. So we've got to make sure that we're ready for a battle.
All right, but coming off your most recent game against Shenandoah, that puts you at 19, almost 20 games on the season. So with that being said, what do you think this team's main strengths are, as well as some things that may need some more work?
Sure. I mean, at the very, when you look at our numbers, we're on pace to break our team record of mm-hmm. stolen bases if we continue on our trend. So that's been a huge strength for us. Coach Kiesling's done a great job of getting our guys to buy into our philosophy when it comes to base running. We almost have to tell our guys to not be so aggressive in certain spots, right? Yeah. We've almost gotten into trouble a couple of times where we've given up outs on the bases that weren't really outs in a specific situation that we wanted to give up. But at the same time, you can't fault our guys for really buying into that mindset of being aggressive. And so you will run into a few mistakes on that when mm-hmm. you preach the aggressiveness that we do so often. So that's been a major strength of ours. Our pitching has been really, really strong. That's been a huge, I wouldn't say surprise. I just didn't think, I knew we would be strong. I didn't realize that we would have the numbers that we would have right now. You know, Colton Frank, his record doesn't look all that great, but when you see who he's had to pitch against, he's lost a 2-1 game, a 2-0 game. You know, he hasn't had the same run support that other players have had or other pitchers have had because of the matchups that he's had to go against. We're putting him up against the Cam Sullivans and the Landon Edwards and these guys that are going to we've got to play really, really clean baseball to win those 2-0, 2-1 games. And we mm-hmm. didn't do it those couple of matchups. So, you know, the record doesn't mean much to us when it comes to it's more about the ERA, the number of hits that he's given up. And those numbers are really exceptional for high school baseball. And when you've got Colton Frank, Jacob Garner, like I said, and we've started to see B pitch a lot more this year too. Yeah. And so that's been a really nice, really the hardest part about that is balancing his time, right? Because mm-hmm. he's also a really strong catcher for us, limits the running game in a major way. but when he has the skill set that he does, we want to make sure that we're maximizing his potential on the mound as well. So trying to balance that has been another welcome surprise this year to see how effective he's been on the mound. So we just need to continue to focus on those strengths. If we pitch as well as we do, we've made a defensive change this week too that I thought really worked out well for us. Our errors these last three games have been limited compared to where they were 2 weeks ago. I think our defensive changes have played a role in that. And so I feel really comfortable where we're at on that side too. We just got to, it really comes down to executing small ball offensively against really elite pitching. You know, once we get to sectional, you're facing everybody's best. And we face mm-hmm. everybody's best every game anyway. You know, so we are prepared for that. I'm just excited to continue to build on those successes. I think if you're asking me where we need to improve a little bit, we still need to improve situationally. So defensively, understanding like, hey, in that moment with a guy that's turning third, you know, we don't want to see a ball thrown all the way to home plate because now we give up that backside bag to second base, you know, and so now we've got another runner in scoring position. And, you know, maybe we get away with some of that in games like Shenandoah, but, you know, games of when it comes time to sectional, those types of mistakes will ultimately cost us a run. And in a game where pitching is so good, you know, runs are at a premium, we can't be giving them any extra opportunities to score runs. So being disciplined enough to know when to like, hey, I could maybe throw this all the way through, show off my arm a little bit, but what's that going to do on the backside? We got to make sure that we're staying consistent, making sure that we're in the right positions backup wise. We teach to be aggressive on the defensively as well. We want to throw behind guys. We want to back pick, but that only works if we've got guys backing up where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make those throws low risk throws. So outfielders need to be backing up. Our infielders need to be rolling over for bunt coverages. All the little things like that, just continuing to see how important those things are and how valuable they are when it comes time for sectional play. You know, I was really encouraged, if you want to go back to last week for one more game, the Greenfield game was one of our, really was a high, it was one of our better wins because of who we were facing. You know, we faced a sectional pitcher. We faced mm-hmm. a D1 commit to Xavier, and, you know, we ended up putting a four spot on him, and we earned every one of those runs. And so, you know, he's not giving up that many runs to anybody this year, you know. And so for us to come out and get sat down, when we went up nine up, nine down for the first three innings, and so the second time through the lineup, I was really proud of how our guys made adjustments. And those are the types of things that you want to see now, because you're going to face good pitching like that. So when you face a Parker Rhodes again in sectional, yeah, he might get us for the first time through the lineup as we get our feet wet, but being baseball savvy enough to make adjustments at the plate so that the next time that you see him, you're ready to attack with what he's given you. So that was probably the most proud I've been of our guys throughout the year because of who we were facing and in the mm-hmm. environment we were at, and having just come off a tough loss the day before, you know, to bounce back and have that. And then to continue that success to Shenandoah on Friday, I thought, like I said, you know, the vibes are good right now. Mm-hmm. So we just want to continue to build on that.
All right. Well, thank you, Coach, for sitting down with me here this morning. But I think that's all we have for this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. Again, good luck to the boys baseball team as they will face New Pal tomorrow, May 7th. But yeah, that's all we have for the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM is underwritten by Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios, offering dental care for children and adults, as well as education for the maintenance of your dental health. More information is available by phone at 765-221-5900 or on site at 113 South Heritage Way in Pendleton, or online at drdanawright.com. Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village, located at 300 JH Walker Drive in Pendleton, providing independent and assisted living, rehabilitation, long-term care, memory support, and more. More information is available at 765-778-7501. Again, that's 765-778-7501. Rollins House in Fall Creek Retirement Village.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this interview on today's Coach's Show. I am Zion Palmieri, joined alongside
Carrie Babcock.
Now, Mrs. Babcock, you are the coach of Unified Track. How's your day going so far?
Oh, my day is going well. Thank you.
So to start off this interview, why did you start coaching?
Well, why did I start coaching? Because it was a new sport brought to PHHS 9 years ago. This is my ninth year coaching Unified Track. And some of the other schools around the area, Hamilton County and some of the other ones were doing the Unified Track. And back in the day, our old athletic director, John Broughton, brought the idea to me and he said, do you want to take this and run with it? And I said, absolutely. I said, I don't know much about track, but I'll learn, but I know the students. So with that combo, I put it together and we've been going strong for 9 years.
Were you doing that at any other school or?
No. In fact, Unified Track and Field is a newer sport. I've been doing it 9 years. It's probably been a thing for maybe 14 years. And that's about all it's been here. And it's grown in popularity since. It is an IHSAA recognized sport. So we are a varsity sport and we do what we can to try to compete and prove ourselves as a varsity sport.
So, of course, you've been here for, I believe, 9 years doing that. Why did you stick with it? What keeps you here?
The students is kind of a unique team. We're more like a family than a traditional type team, and that family atmosphere and togetherness is kind of something that makes it unique and makes me want to stay and do it.
Now, interviewing people through this process, I talked to a lot of football players, a lot of coaches, and everyone always talks about Pendleton and its togetherness and community. And how do you see that through Unified Track?
Oh, the same. The same. And then it's a lot more, you hear some of the people on the team will say, oh, we had some drama when we played, you know, this sport over here, or we had some not so good togetherness over here, but the unified sport seems to pull that all together, and everybody cheers for everything because they may be doing something for the first time that they've never done before, because we have five events and that's all we have. We have the 100, the 400, we have a girls and boys 4x1 relay, we have the shot put and the long jump. So students, some of them hear about the unified track when they are a cadet teacher with me, and then they say, oh, well, we want to interact with the kids out on unified track. Well, that's great, but they also have to try new things. Not only are the students with special needs trying new things, the typical students are too, and sometimes that's challenging for them. So it's a pretty neat thing.
Currently, what part of the season are we in for unified track?
We have to have our sectional rosters turned in next Friday. So, and then, excuse me, we compete in sectionals on May 18th.
What is the most exciting part of your season for you?
Sectionals, definitely. Because some of the meets during the year are, we use them to get times for sectionals. A lot of them aren't scored, but we use them to train and to get times and to still do our best. But sectional is when it all comes together and you see what the team has become and what they can do.
How often do you guys practice, and how much does the weather affect that?
Oh, we practice three times a week. Right now we've added a fourth day just so we can prepare for the sectionals. And we face a lot of spring weather, rain, wind. We also have to compete with our 2-day spring break that's in there, because that's a hard time to try to work around. So the weather doesn't always participate with us, but we still get our practices in the gym when we can. So we keep going along.
So what is the most difficult part on your end?
The most difficult part, you know, the most difficult part is to get male students involved. I get a lot of female students are what we call, you know, partners or the typical students. And I would encourage any male student who has a want or just the curiosity or the willingness, come on out and give it a try. It's fun.
Yeah. How do you like kind of advertise that while still being a sport of like, you know, we need people too. This is a fun sport. How do you?
Word of mouth. Usually I try to get my current team to go out and talk it up to their friends. And I try to go out and recruit. And last year we made it to state. So that gave us a lot of advertisement there, because we were going on into the competition season. So I don't know, that part is difficult as well. So just come on out. Everybody come on out. Give it a try. It's a fun sport.
Now, again, looking to you, what is the most rewarding part in this whole process for you?
All of the students, when you get to sit back and watch the students try something they've never tried before, or working with the special needs population and they've never done that before. Sometimes you think you're teaching the students with the special needs, but actually it's reverse. The special needs students are teaching you, because they do things without fear, without any inhibition at all. They just do it. And that to me, when those students can teach a typical student to just try their best and give it all they have. That's the exciting part to me and the rewarding part.
How often does that happen, considering you've been around this process for 10 years?
Every day.
That's absurd. That's, you wouldn't expect that.
Yeah. Every day you find something new to smile about, a teaching moment. Something is great about every day.
Do you have any specific favorite memories or favorite, I don't know, run or something like that?
I will say probably my favorite memory, my favorite season would probably have been last year when we made it to state and I knew more about the sport and I was more confident in my abilities to do it. And the team coming and working together and, you know, making it to state and tying with a school like Westfield at state, that was, you know, that's impressive to me. And I like to see that our school can be competitive with that. So,
well, that's all I've got here today. Thank you for joining me.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Well, that will do it for this interview on today's ASN Coach Show. Of course, I am Zion Palmieri, and this is 91.7 WEEM.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
While high school sports help students develop their athletic skills, the real lessons in this second classroom are the skills needed for life. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Carrie Rosati. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. In high school sports, student athletes aren't just running drills. They're learning discipline and work ethic.
They're not just watching film. They're learning the value of preparation and always finding ways to improve.
They're not just hitting the weight room. They're learning the importance of pushing through any challenges that come their way.
These aren't just some of the skills student athletes need to navigate the game. These are the skills they need to navigate life, to be successful people, to be good humans.
You can ensure these life lessons are taught for generations to come. Be a champion of high school sports and buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is preparing for the game. This is preparing for life. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. We hope you have all enjoyed the show thus far. For our final segment here this evening, Braden and I will take a look at some other sports around Pendleton Heights, give you all, fill you all in on what's happening around the athletics around here at Pendleton Heights. But starting off here with the boys golf, they just this past weekend had the Madison County Tournament this past Saturday, May the 4th. Did you celebrate May the 4th? You a big Star Wars guy?
I went fishing. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, this past Saturday, they had the Madison County Tournament. It was at Elwood, and they won. They won the county. It was pretty. I'm not sure if it was close or not. I think they won by a pretty big margin. I was talking with Ryan, a fellow Weem staffer who's on the golf team here this first period, and he was showing me some clips and some photos that Rob Hunt posted.
Hey,
and
so did I. I saw those.
Yeah, pretty solid. Did you see the one with Sam Denny?
The one in the motorcycle revving?
Yeah. He had a motorcycle revving, and did Sam still, did he hit it?
No, Sam backed off and threw his hands up in the air like, what the heck, man?
I heard that he had some other hand signals on.
Yeah, but too bad. We are family friendly.
Too bad. So yeah, solid weekend for the golf team. Before that, this past week, they had a match on Tuesday. It was against Anderson on the road at Meadowbrook. They beat them. And then they had a game against Frankton Jr., Dash Senior High School. I don't know why it says that. It was at home, though. That was on a Wednesday, May the 1st. And then, Braden, what do they got this upcoming week, the boys golf team?
Boys golf team has won tonight.
It's game day.
At Delta. Yeah, it is game day.
Match day.
Yeah, match day. It's here. So I believe it's the Pendleton Golf Course, what they play at.
Yes.
But yeah, that's tonight. go watch Ryan Davis, I guess. I don't know a whole lot of golfers, can't lie to you guys. And then they play on the 7th, so tomorrow.
Wow.
And they play at Fisher's High School, the Purgatory Golf Course.
Purgatory.
I'm not
That's
sure how we
pronounce that. Interesting golf course name.
Yeah. They also play...
I bet it's nice, though.
On the 9th, which is this Thursday, and they play at HSE, so Hamilton Southeastern.
Wow,
but
big week.
They play here against HSE.
Fishers and Hamilton Southeastern, that is a pretty big week. And then this Saturday, it's conference. Sorry, I was totally blanking.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Look,
Mine doesn't show that.
Are you looking?
Mine doesn't show that.
Yeah. Hoosier Heritage Conference, it's going to be at Delta, is Saturday, May the 11th. It's at 8:30 a.m. will be, I guess, tee off. So, yeah, very busy week for the boys' golf team. Again, just recapping, you got a match here today, match tomorrow, match this Thursday. You got Fishers and Hamilton Southeastern on Tuesday and Thursday, two big schools, of course, and then conference this upcoming Saturday. So best of luck to the golf team. They go on pretty late. I remember, like, their sectional is, like,
it's in the way June. In the summer.
Yeah, it's like mid-June, which is probably the sport that goes on the longest. Switching over here to track and field now. Track and field, they're kind of the opposite compared to golf. They start early and end pretty early. For this past week for them, they had a boys invite here at home on May the 2nd. That was past Thursday. Then they had Noblesville Relays on the 6th Monday. That was at Noblesville. And then they have, that's tonight. The Noblesville Relays are tonight at Noblesville. 5:30 is the start time for that. And then, similar to golf, they have conference this week. It'll be Thursday the 9th at Mount Vernon. 5:30 is when that starts. So two, you know, decently big meets, matches, whatever, invites this upcoming week one against Noblesville, of course, tonight, and then Thursday, conference.
Yeah, the Noblesville meet when I ran track was kind of fun. They had a really big press box around the football field. It's actually massive.
Like football field. They don't have like a track.
Well, they got like two lacrosse fields, a practice football field. They're all turf, by the way. They got a turf football field. I think it's got like 9 or 10 lanes, and normal track just has 8. But theirs has 10.
Top of the line.
Oh, yeah, top tier. And then their press box has 2 floors.
Would you say it was the nicest place you ran last year?
By far.
By far. You say it like it's obvious. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where. Yeah.
They ran at Ball State and like, what's the other one? I don't want to say Anderson University, but I want to say Anderson University. It's probably Anderson University. It's also a nice one, I think.
Yeah, probably. All right. Now, finally, taking a look at the girls' track side of things. This past week, they had a number of matches, and it looks like they go on a little later. No, they end about the same time.
Talking about tennis?
No.
Oh.
Girls' track. I totally forgot about tennis.
They usually do the same as track and field.
Yeah, they do. But anyways, they also have conference this upcoming week. Their conference is tomorrow, May 7th. It's also at Mount Vernon, but again, just a couple days sooner. 5:30 is when it starts, and then they have sectionals. That is not this upcoming week, but the week after, May 14th, Tuesday, here at Pendleton Heights. So they're going to be hosting sectionals this year. And then regionals after that is at Ben Davis on the 21st, and then the IHSAA state finals on Robert C. Haw Track Complex, also known as IU. That'll be on June 1st, Saturday at 3 p.m. They had a girl commit to IU, Brad. Want to tell us a bit about that?
She's a distance runner. She's coached by Coach Bear, the distance coach at the high school. I believe she usually does like the really long distance stuff. She's a cross country runner as well. I don't know if she's going to IU to run track and cross country. I think most people do when they go to college. I believe they run cross country and track, but yeah, I do know she's committed. Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about her, to be honest.
All right, finally, taking a look at girls tennis. They have a match here tonight at Delta, 5 p.m. Again, on the road, conference matchup. Then they have a match tomorrow at home against another conference opponent in the Greenfield Central Cougars. That one starts at 5:30. Then Thursday, May 9th, they're going to be on the road against Elwood. 4:30 is the start for that one. Then they got a match on the 10th. That's at New Pal, another conference matchup. And then that'll do it for their regular season. So their regular season ends this week. They'll start sectionals, not this upcoming week, but the next one on Wednesday, May 15th at Anderson High School as their sectionals. And that'll be the 15th and the 16th. So I guess they have 2 days for sectionals. That'll do it for our show here this evening. For Brayden Folk, I'm Dawson Perrell. For all our other hosts and guests we had on this week, we hope you all enjoyed. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night. You'll be hearing Brayden and myself call the Greenfield Central softball game. That one starts at, Brayden,
6 o'clock.
You don't know.
Almost at 5:30.
I think
o'clock.
It is 6 o'clock. It is. 6 o'clock. So tune in just around that time again to hear Brayden and I call that one. But we hope you all enjoyed. Have a nice night. You're listening to 91.7 WEEM.